Welcome to our praise service this evening. It's really good to have everyone here. There's a good group. I'm actually really pleased that we're going to be having John Brotz, Jr. Not really Jr., but anyway. They call him Johnny in his house, and then I call his dad Papa John. But anyway, John will be leading our praise service, and this will be his first time getting to do that. So it's going to be a special evening for that and many other reasons too. But tonight, be thinking as we're singing about a testimony that you'd like to share, a word of praise about something the Lord has done in your life, maybe in the life of someone you know, in this past year. Maybe it's recent, maybe it was earlier in the year, but we just love to have testimonies. As long as you'd like to share, we'll stay around. So let's open with prayer, and then John will come. Tonight, Lord, we are grateful for our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, your Son. We're thankful that you sent him here. It means more than what we can fully express with words. The fact that he was willing to leave heaven and to come to earth and to live and ultimately be treated cruelly and die for our sakes. We will not be able to say enough praise, although we'll have a trillion years to try. We pray that this evening the crescendo of worship from word and song and testimony and instrument will lift up to your ears in a pleasing way. Thank you for all you're doing here in our church. Give us a great evening now as we worship you. We pray thanking you. Amen.
Good evening. So I got to share a story on my way in today. As you can probably understand, there's a little anxiety being up here, and as I was driving in, going to the Lord, I passed a car, and the car had a license plate, and this just goes to show you how good our God is. And the license plate said Ephesians 2:10. Well, I do not have the Word of God memorized, but I definitely looked it up, and I have to admit, I believe that was a gift from God on my way here to calm my anxiety. And I'm just going to read Ephesians 2:10. Glasses, sorry. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So that touched my heart, and I hope you appreciate it, coming from a man that has a little anxiety. So I want to say good evening to all of you, to the people on the live stream, a hello, and we welcome you, and any guests here. So brothers and sisters, I welcome you. Tony, if I start speaking too fast, I need you to wave as frantically as you can to calm my nerve. I'm determined to put it in low gear rather than fast gear, but if you can do that for me. And I thank you, Tony, for your service. So often the body of Christ, parts of the body, don't get recognized, and such as operating the technical stuff in the piano and even the service of food. So I thank you, Tony, for that. So I am going to start with a story that happened 3,000 years ago. And before I tell you the story, I want you to encompass in your mind the relationship of tonight, November 20th, and what happened 3,000 years ago. So as you do that, I take you on this journey. 3,000 years ago, in the book of 1 Chronicles 16, and this is when King David was bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, and he was bringing it into the tent of worship, and that encompassed many things. And one of the things that he did after he offered the burnt offering and the peace offering is he fed the people, I believe, a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and cakes of raisins, and I desperately went down into the basement looking for one snack that had raisins in it, and if you did, I didn't see it, but how 3,000 years ago they were preparing for worship and praising God, and how we too tonight are praising and worshiping God. And on that day, David appointed some men to worship in the form of, and some of us have heard it, the Song of Thanks of David. And so this came straight out of Psalms 105. And I'm only going to read a snippet of it. But as I read, I want you to reflect on what he is telling us to do as far as invoking God, thanking God, and praising God. As he did that, we do that again tonight. So it's a tremendous honor that we're literally living in Hebrews 13:8, where Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same tomorrow. So give me your ear, and I again, this is taken. This one is from 1 Chronicles, and it's taken from Psalms 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he too is to be feared above all gods. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And after they sang that song, according to the book of Chronicles, the people said amen and praise the Lord. So as we move on into the worship service, I share one last story with you. As I was preparing for this, I reached out to Brother Milo, and I asked him, I didn't want to burden him, and Milo has a way where you're never burdening him. And I asked him, I said, in a few words, can you help me understand what it means to glorify God to you? And Milo, in his wisdom, he had sent back to me a link to the website Got Questions, and it's a wonderful website. Perhaps there's some error there, but I haven't stumbled upon it. And so he sent the link, and it basically said, what does it mean to glorify God? And in this page and a half of describing what it means to glorify God, two things popped out to me that really moved my heart, and I share with you a little bit. And in hopes of moving your heart too, to give God praise and testimonies tonight, because that is what this night is all about. And so the very first thing that resonated in my heart was this. What does it mean to glorify God? To glorify God is to extol his attributes, his holiness, faithfulness, mercy, grace, love, majesty, sovereignty, power. And that's only to name a few. Rehearsing them over and over in our minds and telling others about the singular nature of the salvation only he offers. And then as I read further along, this moved me, and as simple as it is, I think you'll appreciate it. And this is my encouragement to all of you who are on the fence. Do I give a testimony? Is my testimony not big enough, good enough, great enough? Let me share what this article had shared with, and it pivoted my understanding. And it says, even though others don't always want to hear our glorifying of God, which usually that's the outside world, but there are moments when people come into the sanctuary and they're just not, their heart isn't in the right place, and they just don't want to hear it, how good God is in our lives, and for that, they don't want to hear it. So they don't appreciate it. But this is the sentence that struck me. He, being God, is more pleased. He is more pleased by it. So whether we believe our testimony is small and insignificant, God is pleased by it. It could be large. God is pleased by it. So I want to encourage those of you who just don't know. I want to encourage you that this is an opportunity to glorify our God, and even drill down just one step further. Tonight, as we know, in 1 Corinthians 3, I think it is 3:13, and I might be wrong, but our good works are tried over a fire, and tonight is going to be tried over a fire. The way we worship God, the way we condition our hearts to worship God, the testimonies that this very night, November 20th, is going to be somewhere in eternity brought over the fire, and it's either going to burn up or it's going to make it through. And I just want to encourage you as we traverse into worship, and as Maria and Beth start us and we venture in with a melody, that you condition your heart and you ask the Lord Jesus to cleanse your feet like he did for Peter, and get ourselves in a place where God receives our worship and smells the aroma of us Christians worshiping him. So with that being said, I'll turn it over to Maria and Beth to lead us and to begin us in our worship service. In the hymnal, "Take Time to Be Holy." Please stand if you'd like.
Thank you.
We'll continue on with song 170, Give Thanks.
Please be seated. So my favorite part, sorry John, so far wasn't your leading. It was my wife and my daughter doing the special. That was beautiful. Beth and Maria enjoyed that and have enjoyed all of it. So thank you. Psalm 100 is where we're going to be briefly this evening. Psalm 100 is the climax to a series of songs of praise. The psalms starting in 93 bring us step by step closer to the ultimate climactic psalm of praise here in the Psalter, which is Psalm 100. So in a second, I'm going to read that psalm and make a few comments. But this question will help us to figure out what the psalm is about. So here's the question. What should flow out of our hearts? Water flows naturally out of a spring. Rain drops naturally out of the sky, and so does snow, especially if you live in Buffalo. But anyway, rain drops out of the sky naturally, waves crash onto the shore naturally, streams and rivers move water naturally. These are all natural occurrences in our world. These are things that just happen. What just happens to come out of our hearts? What flows naturally from our lips? There are reasons to complain, but those are not the words that should flow out of a Christian's heart. In fact, in Psalm 100, Scripture describes what should flow out of a believer's heart. So let's read this psalm. And I have five S's in my outline here. Maybe you can guess what they are. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Can you hear that? You know that song? Serve the Lord with gladness. All right, anyway. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is good, that he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are, and the next two words are the very center of the psalm. We are his people. There are 20 Hebrew words before his people and 20 Hebrew words after his people. And commentators in the Psalms talk about the focus of the psalm being God's blessings on his people and the resultant praise that should flow from their lives, from their lips. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Do you feel like a sheep in the fold of God? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. Why should we praise? Well, man, there are all kinds of reasons, but one of those is the pure goodness of God. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 100 lists five things that should flow from a heart that is full of thanksgiving. And the first of those is shouting. In the ESV, it says, make a joyful noise. Other translations have the word shout. It's a term of exuberance. It's a term not of being out of control and going crazy like at a sports game, but it is a sense that we are so thankful to God for all he's done that it just bursts out of our lives and from our lips. At the end of verse 1, it says, all the earth, there is coming a day when every single nation and all people literally will praise the name of the Lord. And I believe that is recorded in Revelation chapter 19. As soon as the judgment of the sheep and goats is over and Jesus begins to reign on the earth, I think there will be much shouting. But verse 2 has the second of the S's. In my outline, there is shouting, but another thing that should naturally flow from our lives when we're thankful is serving. Again, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. It's one thing to get up and to just be grumpy all day and kind of old and crusty, or maybe young and crusty, whatever your age might be. And it's another to get up knowing what God has done and just serving him with all your heart that day. Also in verse 2 is singing. The second half of the verse, come into his presence with singing. It may not actually be verbally singing, but the heart is singing because in such a state of worship because of what God has done in his goodness. The fourth S is found in verse 3, and it's sharing. Verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We belong to God. We are his people, the center of the psalm, and the sheep of his pasture. God loves us. And God cares for us. Does it feel like that all the time? Maybe not. But it's nonetheless true. Even during the most difficult of times, it is true. When it says we are his people, I mean, we belong to him. A few psalms later, in Psalm 139, verse 14, it says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Each person who's sitting here in one of these seats is a person, man, woman, teen, child, who belongs to God. God loves you, cares for you. He made you, each one of you specifically, with just the mixture that you are of your gifts and talents, your abilities. You are a trophy of God's. You are part of his plan and his church and his fold, and you are one of his sheep, unique and special. You belong to him like a child does to a parent, or you belong to him like a sheep does to a loving shepherd. He cares for you. And then the final S is in verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. So tonight, we're going to be doing just that. We're going to be speaking words of praise about the Lord. So John, in a moment, is going to come back and lead us in another hymn or two. And then we're going to open the floor. And I hope that you'll have a testimony that you'd like to share. We're in no hurry to get home. So we'll have the portable microphone, and someone, I forget who it is, has been selected to bring the microphone around. So you can just stay where you are. You're welcome to stand or sit as you'd prefer. But just, we'd love to hear, what has God done in your life more recently? Maybe something major in this past year. Maybe you don't feel, as John said, like it's such a big deal, but you never know who God might touch through your testimony. So we will be speaking words of praise, both in singing as well as in testimony. I'm going to share some things here that I'm thankful for, kind of to get us started off, things that have happened in this past year. Here are just a few. First, I'm thankful that in spite of the difficulties in the economy, that the Lord has blessed our church abundantly. I mean, even, what was it, not even a month ago, about a month ago, we gave away thousands of dollars, multiple thousands of dollars to a couple of different people, and we're giving more away here to our missionaries just because God has blessed us greatly. That's a praise. Another, we've had several property improvements here in our church. The Wolfs aren't here tonight. They're out of town. They have been all day. But, you know, Dan Wolf and I think some of his kids, they came in, and Russ may have had a part two, but came in and they completely re-roofed, tore off and then re-roofed our garage. The retaining wall got done. Lower level things have been done and more is going to be done. Thankful for that. God has answered a prayer that I've had for about almost 9 years now, okay? And that is, when we first came here 8 years ago, there was virtually no one in the 20 to 30 window, okay? We had a big gap. So demographically, we had plenty of people, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 40s, 50s, and then there were just a couple of families in that 30 and almost no one in the 20s range. And that's a pretty big demographic break, and it's not healthy for a church to have that, but we did. And so we've been praying, myself in particular, I've prayed for years that God would allow us to have enough people in that age bracket to continue this church when I'm long gone, right? And when others who are older have moved on into heaven, that this church will still be here. And you know, this year or this next year, we are hoping to start a college career group, and there are 11 people in that 20 to 30 age bracket in our church. And that is a direct answer to prayer. He's brought new people into our church. Couple who were baptized here this summer are here. Ryan just joined the church. There's a whole row back there of new people. They barely fit. They're all shoulder to shoulder squeezed in there. But we're going to have to figure out how to help them there. But I don't think they can lose any weight. That's not going to help. If they do, that would be a bad thing because they're not like me. They're all on the thin side. But anyway, so good to have you know, new people, and then to have, you know, the Bill and Jane Ducos, you know, who have been here forever, metaphorically speaking, and the Lilliquists, who have been here forever, and so on. We are enjoying unity in our church. This year, we've been able to increase the support of the Wrights. We've been able to take on the Markowski family for support, and we are able now to even do two scholarships for students who are going to one of the seminaries for Pacific Rim Missions International. And I don't know, but I'm thinking that both of our scholarships, which it's $50 a month for a scholarship, are going to support the new seminary in India. I mean, we have students from, there are students there from Bhutan, Nepal, Tibet, Bangladesh, Myanmar, the Naga tribe, and the Ao tribe. 20 students is all they could handle for this first year. But can you imagine, there aren't hardly any churches in these regions. In India there are, but in the surrounding countries, there are hardly any churches. These are These are areas that are just dark. And there are young men, all of these 20 are young men who are studying for ministry in the seminary, and we have the ability here to support two of them. We could go on, right? But I need to sit down and let others share. So, John, if you'd come, let's continue to praise the Lord in song and in testimony.
Thank you, Kurt. We'll be singing song 789 in the hymnal. In all things, give him thanks. I think, Kurt, did you take my book? No? I don't know if he walked off in it. Was it... You didn't take my book, did you? Is it in? Oh, nope, my bad. My apologies. Yeah. Okay. I think we're ready. Thank you. The next song is going to be Grace. Now, this is a new song. Pastor Kurt had given me a blue folder of new songs, and Sister Jill had pulled me aside, and it's a bit of a complicated song, is it not? But I advise all of you to look at Jill, and when she starts singing, then we start singing. I hope that's okay. So, with that being said, it is quite a nice song, a pleasant song, and so that's my advice to all of us. So let us begin with Grace.
Thank you.
You may be seated. All right. Well, so Pastor Kurt, in asking me to participate in this, he said perhaps I can lead off with a testimony, and I must tell you, I shuddered a bit. I'm not always too comfortable doing that due to my insecurities, I suppose you say. But as I reflected on that and knew that it was a request that I had to grant, I sought the Lord in comfort, and he gave me three scriptures that I'll share with you to set up a premise for my testimony. So in Jeremiah 9:23 and 24, it says this: "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and the righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, declares the Lord." And the other one in 1 Corinthians, "Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." And the one that spoke the most, "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." So as I share my testimony, I hope to parallel, I'm going to be transparent. You will see my weakness, yet you'll see the work of the Lord, and for that I praise him. As I prepared, I had no idea what the volume of people who were going to share their testimony, so like any MC, I had to improvise to make sure I had enough. I named my testimonies, and I really wanted to share the laundry basket testimony, but the Lord, I felt, wanted me to share church cleaning. So that begins back in 2020. That begins 2000. The year 2000 is when I went and I started my career at work. And at 25 years old, I was enthusiastic. I thought the world was in front of me, and I thought, and I was a Christian at the time, the flesh wrestled in becoming something big and important and something known to the world. And now I move along, and those 22 years have not quite been what I expected. I didn't get elevated the way I wanted to get elevated, and much of those years I blamed certain individuals through that, and bitterness tried to root itself in my heart, and I carried on, and I've come to understand that I have limitations. Is one thing the Lord said. He says, John, hear me. I know the Lord doesn't speak audibly, but he leaves impressions on our hearts, and I think we're all understand that, and left the impression on my heart, John, I did not create you to make men rich. I created you to point to the celestial city. And that moved me. And now we come all the way to the current date. So when I started church here about 4 years ago, I think four years ago, I too was zealous to do something, become a servant. What can I do? What can I do? Well, what came available to me was church cleaning. I was all for that. I thought, no problem, I can do church cleaning in my newfounded zeal, my new church. I thought this is exciting. But after about a year, that waned, and then it became more mundane, and through all that, I worked through that. But I tell that a little bit because there was one time I came into church, this one time, and I don't believe I'm going to get emotional on it, but I don't know what the devil's voice sounds like. I have no idea. You know, God and the devil, they seem to weave in and out of our own voice, our own conscience. And so in my earlier years, it was always the devil. The devil is making me do this. The devil is making me do this. And I migrated into a more my flesh. My flesh made me do this. But this day was different. I was walking into the church for my church duties. This is about a year ago. And it was quite clear. and which makes me think, perhaps not the devil, maybe a demon, you know. And again, I don't really know. I don't. But it was different this time, and I walked in, and this is almost what it said into my heart. I was walking in, and he said, funny how it is, the world has no use for you, and God has no use for you as far as taking you anywhere. It's funny, you're just cleaning the church, cleaning the bathrooms or whatever else it is. And that sucker punched me. I walked in and I was hurt. I was confused. I was in agreement. As my mother said, you know, you got a good angel and a bad angel, and you listen to the good angel. And I once told her, well, I got hard hearing, and it seems like the good angel is in the hard ear and the bad angel. But all fun aside, it I wrestled that day, and I was here for about an hour and 15 minutes, and I wrestled, and I go, Lord, tell me that's not so. Tell me there isn't this connection between you and the world. It stuttered my faith a little bit, and I was confused, and I was determined. I go, Lord, I need your help in this. I need you to work me through this. Well, about 45 minutes into it, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he showed me something that has completely pivoted my understanding of servitude and service. The impression he left on my heart is, whether I give you 3 talents or I give you 10 talents, whether I have you cleaning the church or whether you're John MacArthur or Pastor Kurt, whatever it is you do, your reward is equal if your heart is right. If your heart is right, if you serve me with a heart of love, with all your mind and your soul, and it resonated. It brought me back to life. It brought me the joy back. And I couldn't believe what I was understanding from the technicians to the piano players to the ladies that put food. After service, we go down there, and there's hot coffee made to all the areas that we can serve that we or the world would say is insignificant. Is insignificant. God says not at all, and I didn't have the scripture in my mind, but I knew there was, and when I found it, and whatever you do, do heartily with the heart, as to the Lord. And not to man, knowing that from the Lord you will see, will receive the reward of the inheritance for you. For you serve the Lord Jesus, and that pivoted my faith, and I see things completely different. So when we get an announcement that anybody want a snowplow or anybody want a shovel, I stand back and I see that's an opportunity to. Serve the Lord with your heart and let the Lord speak. And I look around and I go, okay, if nobody claims it, I'm claiming it. I'm going there. I'm going to receive that. And when I enter into heaven, and if I can do things with a pure and genuine and a good heart as best as I can, my reward will be waiting for, and your rewards will be waiting there. So that is my first testimony of the evening. And now we're going to turn that over. Jonathan, you said you would come and help me, and I want to credit Miles. Pastor Kurt had asked Miles, and there was a little bit of confusion, so I give you credit for being willing to do that. I appreciate that. Miles is going to be the manager of the microphone. I don't know if it's on. You may want to test it. If you can sing, sing. There we are. So is there anyone who would like to go second? Second, as a testimony. I
will. Okay, when you mentioned maybe something happened was last year with me, that was significant, that really brought the feeling of thanks that I need to ask, you know, thank the Lord for, is back in February of this year, the Lord moved me to help with the youth, take them down to conference. And it's a 5-hour drive down there to where we went. And I got to spend a lot of time, you know, 5 hours is a long time spending in the car with people. On the way down there, it was great. You know, it seemed like a 15-minute trip. The conference was way too short. I got a chance to meet kids, and there was, people down there I already knew. I've known some of these kids for years, but I got to know them better, and I got to spend time with them. And the trip back was especially great. I mean, another five-hour trip coming from Illinois back here. How long did it take? 10 minutes. That's what it seemed like. And from there, I got more and more chances to interact with youth, working with the teens and some of the preteens. Again, some I knew before, I've drawn closer to them, and I've got to know more and more of the kids. Those of you who know me and Lori, we don't have any kids. And these children have just brought great joy into my life. It's just a precious thing just to be with them. I can't go out and run in the woods and play airsoft with them because of my hips and, my age. I just can't do that. But in between things, just being in their presence is a joy. And I really love doing and being with them. And the Lord just keep on bringing more and more and more of these kids, into our church. And I'm getting to know more and more of the kids. And just sharing those little bits of their life is very precious. And it's also keeping me sharp because I got to learn new names. Got to keep them all straight. So I really want to thank the Lord for bringing these young ones into my life, letting me share just a little bit of theirs, and just being in their presence. And I thank the Lord for that.
I just want to say thank you to certain families within the church that have helped me over the last many years, and one of them is the DeVrieden family, for watching my critter that I brought over to their house, and he got to stay with them when I went out to Colorado. I also thank you, Jim and Kathy Pope here beside me. For this past week, I have not had a vehicle. And it came up on last week, Friday, I think it was. I had a half a pig in a butcher shop in Campbellsport. I had a deer in Cascade. And Ken's at home with no vehicle. Boy, if I left now, I might make it back by the end of the month. You know how that kind of thing goes. Jim came over, took me out to Cascade, or out to Campbellsport. Almost got lost. We got a little tied up on the back roads. We were trying to foggle Google or Google Maps or whatever it was. We ended up getting there, and then we looked at the map prior to leaving Campbellsport to get to Cascade. So we did end up, I ended up with all the meat back at home. He helped me by carrying it all into the garage that I get it in a freezer. And the other one that I'm thinking of is our friend, boy, I can't even think of his name right now, or in the back on the sound system, Joel Scheibel. I didn't have a car. I called Joe up and says, could I get a pastor you to get a ride to church? He says, but I go at just before 8. I says, that's fine by me. I says, we're singing on Sunday morning. And then last night, which is the other person that I would like to say thank you to, and all I know him is by the name of Tim. I'm driving his car. He gave me a car last night to use. And I tried calling Joe this morning. I says, I don't make phone calls after 8 o'clock at night unless somebody's actually asking me to call them at that specific time. So I called Joe this morning at 7:30. He doesn't turn his phone on. So guess who showed up at just before 8 this morning in my driveway? And I had to say thank you for coming over. And I was here. And I thank this young man by the name of Tim. I don't know him. I've met him one time. I've got his car. I ask the Lord to be with me and help me to show him Jesus Christ. Thank you.
This week I ask the Lord, every morning when I have my quiet time, I ask the Lord, I make myself available for him, especially this week. And I was really earnest. I'm earnest about it every week and every morning. But this last week, I was really on my heart to be a servant. And I said, Lord, make me available today. And when I finished my quiet time, the phone rang and it was again. And so I give God the glory for how he worked in our lives that day. We had a great time together, and he provided me for him. So I give God the glory. But I want to thank God for my salvation. I have a phobia of talking in front of people, but I love my Lord, and I'm thankful that he saved a man like me, and I lived a rough life at one time, but by the grace of God, I'm right here today, and I give God the glory. I'm thankful for that. And second of all, excuse me. Second of all, I'm thankful for my wife. She's not perfect, and she'd be the first one to admit it, but she's so special to me. And I thank the Lord for her. And I thank the Lord for this church. I thank you that we have a place that we can come and worship, and we have a pastor and people who love to hear the word, the truth, and not just, sure, we come and we feel better about ourselves at times, but we do get the word, and the Lord really touches our hearts, and I can see it in people in this church. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for tonight where we can come and thank the Lord for what he's done for us. And in the future, we don't know what the future holds, the Lord does, but we can trust in him that he's going to take care of us and be, because he is faithful. And we always need to fall back on how the Lord has blessed us. And the times that we are skeptical, or our trust and our faith is damaged or is not as strong, we need to always fall back on what the Lord has done for us. And because he's always faithful. And I am thankful once again for the freedom we have to meet here tonight. Maybe one day it won't be this easy, but for now it is. And I thank the Lord for that.
I'm thankful for Jesus dying on the cross for me, and Pastor Kurt.
This has been a very different year for me. But the Lord challenged me from a verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And the challenge, of course, is, can I give thanks even when my dear Jeff went home? And yes, I've wrestled with that this year, but I am so thankful that Jeff is walking with his Savior today. He isn't worried about anything anymore, and that at some point in the future he'll be there to welcome me home as well. And so I can give thanks in all the circumstances that the Lord brings into my life, even the death of my spouse, but also on how he is leading and guiding me on in what he has yet for me to do in this life as well. And I'm very thankful for his leading in this last month or so, just giving me peace that this is now what I would like you to do next. And so I thank you. I give thanks to the Lord for all the circumstances that he brings into my life. Thank you.
I'm thankful for the church and everybody who is in the church. Oh, sorry. I'm thankful for my family and that I can learn about Jesus. I'm thankful for the ones that Jesus has sent us. I'm really thankful for everything that Jesus has made, and
first up, I'd like to give praise for being welcomed into the congregation and being baptized, being able to join all of you here in this wonderful church. I would also like to give praise for having been able to switch positions at my current job earlier this year. I was having a fair amount of stress in my previous position, so getting to switch was a huge relief. And also, I would like to give praise for the responsibility and freedom that comes with homeownership. As of August, I was able to buy a house that is just a block or two that way. And it never ends. The responsibility never ends. Always more to do. In the first month of ownership, I lost about 7 pounds that I hadn't meant to lose. Just the stress of repainting the whole thing and everything. But thankfully, I had family to help. I had Dan Wolf do the home inspection, and a number of people help with moving Josiah in as well. Great to have Josiah as a roommate, too. We've been able to bond quite a bit as Christians and as friends. And in addition to that, part of the reason I had been late to the meal fellowship before this was actually errands related to my home. I was at Home Depot because they had blinds on clearance for $1 each. So I ended up going back home to measure and then back out to buy them. This praise was not endorsed by the Home Depot.
I think in the 3 years, 4 years that I've been a part of this church, the gift that stands out right now to me is the relationships that I've been able to develop with everybody here. I need to know people much more deeply, be able to talk more freely with a lot of people, but I don't think there's a Sunday that goes by where I don't look around. And each family here, we've got the Masons, the DeVrins that have a large family and of godly people, and I'm encouraged very much to see what they have done with their families. I think of Earl and Mike Nally, who stand up and they help us to sing. You know, I can see just the love that they have, you know, for their Lord and the singing and in the ministry that they have shown. I look around at other people, and Milo, I've known him for many years, and how he encourages me. So each Sunday that I come here, it's more joyous to come to not forsake ourselves gathering together. as Hebrews 10, 25, 24, and 25 talk about. And there's good reason for it, because truly, truly, we lift up each other. We encourage one another, even like a night like tonight, where we hear things about that come from our inner heart and what we were really thinking. Russ was one of the first people that I met, and he encouraged me, you know, very, very much. My family, I've always been close to my family, but the relationship that I had ever since knowing the Lord and coming to the Lord is we do a lot more talking about spiritual things, about God, about where we are going in the future and the hope that we have. And that's all comes from not forsaking our gathering together. I think one of the joyous things that I had was something that was very long in coming. Just prior to COVID, when I first had come here, I sat in front of Roger Belling, and I got to know him, and he was one of the few people that I would really talk to. And when COVID came, it was kind of neat at first, because when service was over, I was instantly home, and I didn't have to drive a half an hour to get home, but that wore off very quickly. And I missed Roger an awful lot, and it was always my intent to want to call Roger up, and I didn't really know his last name. And I had, at one time, I was at the Michigan State Fair, and, you know, of all the places and where all the wealth is in Michigan, they have their state fair up in Escanaba, you know, Michigan, you know, where there's really nothing there. I came across a tin statue of, if you've ever seen the movie, Ice Age, there's this squirrel that is always chasing this acorn around. And I happened to see one of those, and I picked it up, and I have it sitting on my fireplace. I do all my reading in front of my fireplace. And I've got this statue, this tin statue, with him holding this acorn. And after COVID came, and we started coming back to church and Roger didn't, I said to myself, I need to call up Roger. I need to talk to Roger. So I created a sign, and I stuck it on the acorn saying, call Roger Bellin, and call Roger. And I never did. For 2 years, I always wanted to, but I didn't. And finally, a couple of months ago, Roger dropped something off at the office where I work, and I recognized him, and I had been busy at the time when I was looking through the window, and I saw Roger leaving, and so on there he had his address, and I immediately got into my car and immediately went over to Roger's house, and we talked for about an hour on company time, of course. So, but I've been able to renew, and, you know, after 2 years of having that sign, and it's still there now, called Roger Bellin. You know, Roger and I have had an opportunity to, when I come to the door, the smile on his face is unbelievable. He uplifts me more than I think I uplift him. So the relationships, I think, has been the greatest gift that I've had with all of you. I mean, I do not look on a Sunday morning and not see a group of family, certain people, whether it's Dennis doing or Matthew doing the Bible study, or, you know, looking at large families with children that love their God, and you know, new families coming in, actually finding somebody that has the same birthday as mine, you know, Jeremy. So never knew anybody that ever had a birthday on my birthday. And so I just want to thank you all for... I don't talk to everybody, but each and every one of you have meaning in my life when I'm here on a Sunday morning. You have a meaning that encouraged me to want to come to church every Sunday. So thank you very much for the things that you do that you don't even know that you do that encourage me.
Opportunity to share a testimony. So we are moving on to one more song, actually. It's another new song. Thank you. My heart is filled with thankfulness. Please stand. Oh, I like that song. That's pleasant. Okay, we're going to open it up again for those. You may be seated. I'm sorry. We're going to open it up one more time for an opportunity. Some of you on the fence, I would encourage you. I got to tell you, Jim, that testimony put you into the top 10 men I want to become like. And the faith of these young men, you two, the heart of a child and the faith of a child is something I aspire to traverse back to. Does anybody have anything? Otherwise, you're going to be forced to listen to my laundry basket testimony, and perhaps you want to hear it, but all right, well, I shall share it. Let me reset my hearing aids. They're going to cycle up in my ear, so give me a moment. They do 10 little beeps, but this one goes back a little bit. This will be exposing my weakness, for sure. For with that, I pray for your grace to understand. But a few years ago, I asked the Lord, I go, what do you want me to work on? And he said, love and honor your wife. And I thought to myself, well, okay, I shall do that. And there was this one evening, it was a Super Bowl evening, the Patriots were in it, and I had made popcorn. I was ready to sit down and watch the pregame, and had my popcorn ready to go, and the Lord had spoken to my heart. I had walked past the bedroom. My wife at the time was up laying with one of the kids, putting them for their afternoon nap, and I walked by the room, and there were three very large baskets of laundry, and my flesh wanted to go and watch TV, relax with my popcorn, and the Spirit was saying, love your wife, honor your wife, this is what I'm talking about. So I determined I'm going to obey the Lord, and I'm going to do what he is working on me with. And it took me, for those of you who fold laundry, you know laundry. And little kids' clothing is particularly inefficient. And those three large laundries, baskets, took me, I'm embellishing here, but it sure felt like it. It took me about an hour and a half And so it was well before the game that I completed it. And I had completed these three loads of laundry. And I was all proud. I was my wife is going to come down, and she is going to see this, and life is going to be good for me. She comes down, walks around the corner, and she looks at me, and she goes, "What did you do?" One of those was dirty. I had folded the laundry. Now this is the part where I'm being transparent. I picked up that laundry basket of folding, and I threw it, and I spit, and I sputtered, and I moaned, and I muttered, and I hurt my wife, and my daughter was too young to remember the story, but it ruined the evening. It ruined the evening, and there was no making it up that night, and I even was a little bit perturbed with God that, why, you know, you tell me to love my wife, you tell me to honor my wife, but you couldn't have told me that one's dirty. You just couldn't have said something, you know. And so the night was ruined, and then we went to bed, and my wife didn't really want to talk to me, and I didn't really want to obey the Lord, where He says, "Don't let the sun set on your anger." And so we went to bed, and I woke up, and my devotion time is in the morning, and I knew that in order to get anything from the Lord, I would have to address this incident. And I sat down, and I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm calm now. I've had a night's sleep." I go, "What happened there? What happened there?" And He showed me my heart, that I folded the laundry for my wife, and I was expecting a reward, an earthly reward of some kind, a praise, or "You're the best husband in the world." And He showed me my heart that when you do things for me, when you do things, John, you do things for me, and I would have given you full credit for all three. You would have gotten full credit for all three. And when I do it for Him, perhaps the blessings spill down into people and into my wife or into society or into my brothers and sisters. But I walked away, and that was a beautiful moment with the Lord, another rare occasion where He speaks so clearly that we do everything onto the Lord and let the blessings spill off into where He allows them to go. So not a story I'm proud of, but it's a story that I believe that the Lord has used in me. So every time that wells up in me, He takes me back there. So I hope that encourages anybody, if anyone. So with that being said, are there any last testimonies? I want to open it up. You can see the angels writing this evening down in the corridors of the journal of tonight. You know, and I don't want anybody to lose an opportunity to share. Oh, Jonathan, again. You know how to work that? Oh, over here.
In recent weeks, I've been in Psalms for devotion time, and there I've seen the importance of believers speaking up in the congregation to give the Lord praise and worship. So I want to give Him an offering of thanksgiving this evening. We're thankful in our family for several things for several answers to prayer that God has given to us. He provided Tony with a really good car. That was a direct answer to prayer. And He's given us guidance and direction through godly counsel of friends. He's brought spiritual growth in our lives. I'm really thankful that Phil and Drew are down at Bob Jones, and they're learning knowledge and also learning character, and they're growing spiritually. We're really thankful for that. And we're also thankful for a decision that was made by a group of Christians that directly affects us. It didn't look like it was going to be made in this direction, but we're just really praising God for the way He worked in hearts and allowed this decision to be made in this way. We're also thankful that God allowed Kurt to spend some time with his mom before she passed away, and then we were all able to be with her just in her final days right before she passed away. So we have a lot to be thankful for.
Well, I've been dealing with a knee that needs total replacement for some time, and the doctor recommended I see an oral surgeon, and I went to see him. Not an oral surgeon, orthopedic surgeon, excuse me. Anyhow, I went to see the orthopedic surgeon, and he told me after examining me, he said because of the polio and the lack of muscle strength, he really wasn't sure that this was going to do the what I was hoping it would do. And he sounded kind of leery because he talked about how the lack of muscle, the thing could jump out of place. And he said, not really. I tell you what, he said, I suggest you go see one of my colleagues and make an appointment for the next 2 weeks. And I'll be honest with you, I was looking forward to seeing this guy, because I thought, boy, you know, he's going to do the surgery, and boy, the pain's going to be gone. And now he's telling me, go see somebody else. And I thought, well, yeah, what's his partner going to tell me? He's also an orthopedic surgeon, probably going to tell me the same thing. So I was a little discouraged, prayed about it, and thankfully I went down to the desk and I asked, and I could get in the very next day at 1:15 in the afternoon. I went to see him. He did the same examination that the other doctor did. He said, Earl, we can do it. And he was not discrediting his partner, but he said that he specializes in sports medicine, where I specialize in joint replacement. He showed me a little model. He told me what they're going to do. And I said, boy, I was really thankful. I was happy where I was discouraged the day before. But I believe that in everything, God is in everything. I don't think for 1 minute that God wasn't in the whole thing all the way. Now, I know some people say, well, that was just the way it went. No, it's not just the way it went. It's the way God had planned it. And I thank him for it. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to do through the surgery that's coming up.
I'm thankful for my teacher, Mr. Schilling. I personally do not know how he can deal with our class and still keep his cool. We are probably the loudest class out of all of them, and I'm just so thankful for him.
All right, so I don't like getting in front of people either, so I know what people are feeling like with that, and my kids don't always like to do that either. But at lunch today, we had a little conversation about some things that we were thankful for and what we could say. And so a couple of things that the kids had mentioned was they're very thankful for the friends that they have, especially in this church. I'm thankful for their mom and dad. They're also thankful that we have the freedom to worship in this country and worship here without any persecution of any kind. As we hear about persecution on a regular basis on Sundays, it's something to be definitely thankful for, that we can worship without any of that. They were thankful for their home, their land, and their pets, and you guys can be thankful not to list all the names because it would be here for a while, so that's what they wanted me to do. but we're also this year for those who may have not known, we had two kids break collarbones this year. We're quite active at home, and we're thankful that both of those have healed up completely well, and they're back to normal. So, and then lastly, I just want to say we were talking at lunch, and we said that we're all growing our knowledge of Scripture from the services, from Sunday school, from home studies, but a lot really comes from this church, and I think the kids have really learned a lot through Sunday school, and I'm really thankful for all the teachers I really appreciate the services as well, scripture-based, and really can come away with some good knowledge there and growth in our walk with the Lord. And Dennis's Bible studies are great, going verse by verse and understanding really what the scripture says is really means a lot. And so it's those things that I'm really thankful for. So I thank for this body and all that that the Lord has given us. Thank you.
As many of you know, myself and my wife have purchased a new home. I am thankful for that purchase, and just obviously it's, you get very anxious about buying the new home and selling the old one, and it's always hard to trust in God's timing, but he definitely comes through. thankful for that, and also thankful for the people that came out to help us. There's a lot of people, and within less than 4 hours, we got everything moved, and by noon, we're eating pizza. And I'm really thankful for the church that we come to and how we're able to help each other, and I really appreciate that and thank the Lord for that.
I'm really thankful for how God designed our bodies at the heel, because I'm a kind of reckless person, and I've smashed my fingers a bunch and all stuff like that, but after a few months, you don't even know anymore, so it's really nice.
I'm really thankful to the Lord. This last Tuesday, we had our evangelism, where we meet on Tuesday nights, and I have to admit, I was getting a little bit down. The group has been getting smaller and smaller, and we got together and we talked about Isaiah in chapter 6, where he was in the throne room of God and he saw God's holiness, and it so overwhelmed him that he fell on his knees and he says, "I am a man of unclean lips." And the Lord says, "Well, who will go for us?" And Isaiah was so consumed with the holiness of God, he shouted out, he goes, "Here I am, send me." So after talking about that, the question was directed to each individual. When is a time in your life where God revealed himself to you in such a way that you couldn't deny it? And I started off, and I'm not going to talk the whole story. But anyway, there was a time when God really revealed himself to me. It blew my mind. And anyway, after I got done, Jim Pope said, "Well, I got one too. I remember when there was a storm down in down south where his parents lived, and he tried 30-some times to get a hold of his mother, and all the telephone lines were down, and God kept telling him, 'Jim, try once more. Jim, try once more.' And Jim said that he tried once more, and all of a sudden his mother picked up the phone. And all the phone lines were down. Nobody had power, but yet that phone call went directly to his mother. And he goes, "I knew that was God. It was impossible for that to happen." And he goes, "And I actually drove the car right to her house by going around down trees and everything else." Well, Phil was there too. And then Phil chimed in and he goes, "Well, I remember a time." Well, anyway, all of a sudden we experienced what Isaiah experienced. And I said, evangelism isn't fun. It's not. And we just get embarrassed, we get fearful, all sorts of things go through our mind. But when you know God is speaking, remember a time when God revealed himself to you. And to know that he is there and he is faithful to help you to share the truth of what he has done for you. And God that night changed everybody's situation in their life. Rather than being down about it, we started praising the Lord, and we had just a great prayer time together. So I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for being there always and encouraging us as you always have done. Thank you.
I'm going to tag team on Milo just for a second here. 6 years ago next month, the Lord told me I was going to move to Wisconsin in the middle of a blizzard. I'm going to leave Louisville, Kentucky, where I had been for 30-some years, leave my two boys, some grandchildren, come up here and live with my daughter so she could go to nursing school. So in obedience, I did. Planned to be here for 2 years, and then I was going back to Kentucky. Well, I'm still here. She finally finished nursing school. But my daughter felt that I needed friends when I moved here because I was very involved with friends in Kentucky, with my church, with my scrapbooking gals, and she just thought I needed friends. So my daughter, whose best friend is Milo's daughter-in-law, Rebecca, the girls decided that we needed to go to dinner, Patty and I, and Kristen and Rebecca. I've known Milo and Patty since my daughter moved here 15 years ago or so. We decided we would go out to dinner. Unbeknownst to the girls, Patty and I decided together over the phone that everything one of us said, the other one was going to disagree with. And I said, okay, we can do that. So it started with Patty made a comment about working for United Healthcare. And I said, oh, that's terrible insurance. I would never want to work there. It's awful insurance. Then I said something about my doctor, and Patty said, oh, well, he's terrible. I don't know why you go to see him. Well, unbeknownst to me, Rebecca and Kristen are just looking at one another like deer in the headlights. And my daughter told me later, she said, I was thinking, this is never going to work. Lord, you got to get me out of here. I just want this evening to be over. They're never going to be friends. Finally, I couldn't keep it up anymore, and Patty and I burst out laughing. And we told the girls we had this all planned from the beginning. They didn't see the humor in it. They still don't see the humor in it. They still don't want to go to dinner with us. But I tell you that because part of our conversation that night was me complaining that I was not having any luck finding a church home, that I had visited several churches. One church I visited four times and never heard the senior pastor preach. And Patty said, well, why don't you come to our church? And I said, well, where's that? And she said, well, it's Emmanuel Bible Church. And so I looked it up, and here I am. And I thank the Lord not only for our girls wanting me to have friends, but for that evening which brought me to this church. And the welcome that I have had from this church, I think Earl was one of the first people I met, Earl and Dan Wolf, and I came back the next Sunday and they remembered my name. But I give thanks and praise because it's this church body that has helped me make Wisconsin my home. And I will be forever thankful for that. And my friend in Louisville, Kentucky, who is the apartment manager where my name was on the list for the next available apartment, she has finally taken my name off the list.
Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. I'm thankful for the work that the Lord has been doing in my life lately. As a young person, I was very strong. I had a lot of medical problems, and I had a lot of trips to the hospital and procedures and things, and I think I just kind of, you know, had the attitude as I'm going to buck up with all the stuff at a very young age. And so I had, you know, other things in my life as well that were very difficult, and I just kept the attitude of I'm going to be strong. And so I have prided myself for many years on my ability to endure and deal with difficult things. And it was obviously all in my strength over years of developing just maybe a hard shell. Over many years, though, many trials and difficulties have happened. And it really shook my faith. And the Lord, and I've been praying about many big things and been very, have been struggling with the fact that I know the Lord hears me and I know he's with me, but why these things have not been answered. And as I was praying about it, recently, I realized that there's a lot of big things that the Lord has not answered in my life that I really, really long for. He showed me that he's right there with me. And one thing I can always count on is his voice leading and guiding me. When I open my Bible and I read every morning, he meets me there. He shows me my sin. He is patient. And as I don't know if anyone's taken the color assessment test before, but I'm a green, so I'm a deep thinker. I need to figure everything out. So there's a lot of things that we can't figure out in this life that we're not meant to necessarily figure out. And learning that I don't need to figure everything out and just trusting the Lord. But I think the Lord has been training me to trust him and his voice alone and to not look at the waves like Peter walking on the sea. It's too easy for me to look at the storms of life and be discouraged and confused and try and put the puzzle pieces together and not be able to. I know without a shadow of a doubt that I belong to the Lord and that he loves me. But in terms of what I see many times, it's been difficult to grasp that for me. But I do see his work, and I do think I understand where he's taking me and how he's helping me completely trust in him alone. Though things in life are not stable, and things that we would desire to have, we don't see or have. So I'm very thankful, and I praise the Lord that he never leaves us or forsakes us. There's also a very big prayer request I've been praying for many, many years. And like Hannah, who went to pray for a child, I believe the Lord confirmed that he is answering that prayer and he's given me peace. Though Hannah didn't get right at the moment what she prayed for, it was going to come a little bit later. And I think that that's what the Lord has promised to me, and I'm very thankful for that and encouraged by that. But in regards to Psalm 46 as well, I want to just praise the Lord for our church and the fact that this church gives me a feeling of stability. People here are stable. We've been to many, many churches over the years. One of the things when we began to attend that really I thought was a blessing to me, and I attended one of the church meetings, was that there were so many godly men in this church that it made me feel peace that decisions that were being made were really being thought out and prayed over. And especially as we watch the world deteriorate more and more, knowing that we have a group of strong, godly men and women here is a comfort. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for just coming every Sunday and hearing the word and the truth proclaimed here. And also one more praise to the Lord is for Lori Janiszewski and Russ, who have just been such a blessing to our family and have shown us so much love and her dedication to the word and teaching it faithfully every week has also been a stabilizing force in my life the Lord has used. And so I thank the Lord for them.
As I get older and I'm thinking of retiring, I just thank the Lord for the many years of my job that he gave me. And I just think back to when I first got the job. I probably got it because it was just an answer to my mom's prayers for me, because my dad had died when I was 15 and she was carrying the insurance. Nowadays you can be on your parents' insurance till you're 26, but back then you were either 18 or you... if you were in full-time school, and I was coming up to that time where I wasn't going to be in school anymore, and I got this job, and I just never thought of it that it was probably an answer to her prayer, and I benefited the last 4 years because of it. So,
I just want to thank you all. As when we first came here, I think the very first week was either a flock group or an evening service, and just how you guys came and talked to us is, in previous churches we've gone to, people will never really came up and talk to us. So I just want to thank you for that, and for Kurt as he actually preaches God's word. Unlike some of the other churches we've gone where it's been more stories than not actually the Bible.
That's my belief, with the glorification and the honor we've given him, and the singing and the duet and the praising. Brother Earl, you have some faith to share. You have an awful lot over there, so if you can pan any of that out. And I just envision, this is outside of scripture, but I just envision a million years into eternity when we open this night up and we reread it. And the dimness of this life is removed, and we read this, how this night is going to read. And so I thank all of you for participating in all that. Before I ask Pastor Kurt to close in prayer this chapter, Jane and Bill and I want to know who made the apple pie with the sugar on top. Can you share that recipe with us? Who did that? Who is that? Nobody's sharing? Oh, you did. All right. Well, now we know our source. Yeah, she's right in front of you. So thank you all, and have a good night. I'll turn it over to Pastor.
John, I like how you put that at the end. You know, in a million years, seriously, things are being written down, and those books will be in on one of the shelves in the library, not of Congress, but the Library of God. And that's where my job's going to be, by the way. I'm going to be in the Library of God. I'll be a worker with the books. But anyway, there really will be those kinds of things written down. I do believe you're right. And it will be fun to go back and read about tonight. Let's pray. Lord, our hearts are full We've heard from so many how you have worked in their lives. Some shared testimonies of salvation, some shared from the past, and some from this just this week. All of it has been a praise to your name. And Lord, you created the church, and it is the institution that you use to reach this world and to encourage those who are still left on this side of the Jordan. And Lord, this church is a wonderful body. We are thankful for it, thankful for what you're doing. We pray that you will maintain it in the years to come if you tarry. Bless us now as we dismiss. Amen. Thank you.